Hallelujah. Amen. Can you hear me all right? It is so good to be in the house of our God. This is a good day because this is a day the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just want to start by saying thank you again to Pastor Gordon for giving me the opportunity to share something that I feel has been put in my heart for me and for you. Now, perhaps this message this morning is not for everybody. It may not be for people that feel perhaps that everything is going well in their lives. But I really believe that this message is a message for somebody. Now, maybe the three of you in this place, and it could be perhaps for some of the people who are joining us on live stream this morning, because relevant for the people at the time. Amen? So, will you just perhaps just stand with me, and we will just pray that the word of the Sovereign Lord will be a word that will bring life to us today. That we will not just hear, that we will hear a word that is coming from heaven for all of us today, for some of us today, including for those who are joining us this morning on the internet. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, the last song we sang that says, amazing love. Amazing love, the cross. It's all about the cross, what the cross has done for us. And because of the cross, we stand in this house today as people that have been saved by grace. It is our prayer this morning that, Lord, as we heard, that will be relevant in our lives today in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and do what you intend to do in this place, what you intend to do in our hearts today, in the name of Jesus, that it will be a word that will be life-changing. It will be a word that will be a word that will help us in our walk with you every day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is all about the cross. The message I have this morning is called Impossible. Impossible. Now, I think some of us, if not all of us, have heard the word impossible before. Now, the dictionary described impossible as something that cannot be done, as something that is difficult to deal with. Perhaps it's a word that we have voiced towards other people, or perhaps it's a word that has been voiced towards us, or perhaps it's a word that we have voiced towards ourselves. Impossible. We have two main texts that we will be looking at this morning. One can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and starting from verse 26 to verse 33. Before we do the reading, I would like to say, please don't listen to me this morning. Now, you might think, what a strange thing to say. I would say, don't listen to me this morning, because if you don't like what I am wearing today, you may not want to pay attention to what I'm saying. So don't listen to me today. Pay attention to me. So don't listen to me today. If you don't like my voice, you'll probably switch off. So don't listen to me today. I urge you today to listen to the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. I urge you today to hear what the Spirit of God is saying today, because if you do, He will teach you. Because if you do, He will teach me. I urge you to listen to a king, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do, He will be able to give you what you need today. So that's why I say today, when you listen, don't listen to a man who is standing in front of you today, but let the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord bring a word that you need in your heart today. Amen? Amen. And if you want to read with me, and this is in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and we start from verse 26. And so the Bible says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. The land. For we can certainly do it. But the man who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. And very quickly, we go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 49 to 56. While Jesus was still speaking, some dead, he said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Hallelujah. We have two different stories this morning. And the first story, obviously, we have to get into a different place, a promised land. And the Bible teaches us that God did promise them to go into this promised land. But of course, they weren't sure, and eventually Moses decided that I will send 12 people who will go out and just see and explore the land and see what is going on there. And this is where, obviously, we join our story. And it says they went and they looked around and they came back. And so the majority of the spies, because there were 12 of them that were sent out, they acknowledged that indeed, as God did say, this place is a good place. It's flowing with milk and honey. That's what how the Bible is describing it. So they said, it is really a nice place. This will be good for us. But that's not where they stopped. They said, but it is not a good place because of the potential challenges of the people who actually live there. And it says, because of that, they have decided that therefore it is impossible for us to take this land. They've been sent and they've seen that God said it is a good place, but they go and they said, yes, it is true that it is a good place, but it's best not to even try to go there in the first place because of the potential challenges. They say, it cannot be done. We have seen the place. It cannot be done. We cannot take over this land. It is too difficult to deal with. It is impossible. So we'll pause here just for a moment. Now, Israel seems to forget. They seem to have forgotten that the God who is on their side is an almighty God. Because going back a little bit behind, God has done amazing things. They have witnessed the power of God. When they were in Egypt, the Bible says that when God was about to get them out, they have seen extraordinary things. But here they are saying, but we cannot take this. So they are forgetting who is on their side. They have a mighty God. So God has delivered them from the oppression and the hand of Pharaoh. They have forgotten that. They have forgotten that. He guided them to cross the sea on dry land. That's another thing that they have forgotten. And here they are saying it's impossible for us to take this place. But you see, back then, now, they were in a desperate place. They were in a desperate place because when they left Egypt, they have come and they see that there's an obstacle in front of them, the sea. They didn't have any boats to take all the people across. And it was a big nation. They have loads of people. So it would have taken them even days and days, perhaps, you know, if they managed to find boats to cross. But at the same time, behind them, now come Pharaoh with all his army. And they are desperate. And here are they said, well, what do we do? And they started calling out to God. But they said, God, hurry up. We have a situation here. God, hurry up. Desperate. Have you ever been desperate in your life? Has anybody in this place been desperate in your life at least once? I have been desperate. Now, a word of warning to some of you, because some of the examples perhaps that I might give might make some of you wince. And some of you might probably think, you know, how shocking. You see, Jesus, when he was talking to the people, when he was with the people of Israel, the Bible says he would use parables. And these were relevant because that's how the people were able to understand the message that Jesus was putting through to them. And so a word of warning to some of you. This may not be a parable, but I'm asking, have you ever been desperate? Have you ever been desperate in it? That you have come to a place, you're pacing back and forth, and you have come and you knock on the door and it's locked. You can't get in, but you're desperate and you're walking back and forth. You are desperate to go in. And that's just for number one. You are desperate. And you're going, every door you go, it's locked. Is anybody with me this morning? You're desperate. And then, without warning, number two is about to get in there as well. You are desperate. Hurry up, you say. I want to get in. Hurry up. You see, when you are desperate in your life, all manners of normality disappear. You end up doing things not in the way that is perceived as normal. You see, there's a woman called Hannah in the Bible, and the Bible says that she was so desperate, and she came in the presence of God, and she was not voicing her heart. She was sitting silently. And in those days that, you know, people would come and they would talk to God and they open their mouth and all that, but she just sat. And the Bible says it's only her lips that were moving. And they thought she was drunk. And the priest said, you know, shame on you. Why do you come in the house of God in this state? She was desperate. But nobody knew she was desperate. The way the world around you do not perceive as normal. You see, when you're desperate, all manners of diplomacy disappear. You see, there's a man that is spoken of in the Bible, and the Bible says that he was short in size. And he heard that Jesus was coming, and there he was, and he came and he said, well, I can't get in there. So he decided, I have to have this man in my house. And so he went and he climbed on a tree. His name was Zacchaeus. He was desperate to have an encounter with somebody he knew would make a difference in his life. And so he will not do something which is conventional. When you are desperate, you do not do things sometimes as normal. Hallelujah. Now, Israel, as I said, they have forgotten who their God was. They have forgotten all the great miracles that they have just witnessed in their lives. We have to learn to remember what the Lord has done for us. We have to learn to remember what the Lord has done for others around us. We have to remember the wondrous works, the miracles in our own lives, in the lives of the people around us. We have to remember His grace. We have to remember His mercies. Before we say it is impossible, remember. You see, we've just had Remembrance Day. What that means, and we look back and we say, we are so grateful that they have fought for us to be free. And how much more for a living God who has invested in us. You see, we have just sung that last song. It's the wondrous cross. It's all about the cross. And so we remember the sacrifice that Jesus has done on the cross for us. Am I speaking to somebody today? Remember what the Lord has done for you. The Lord has been so good to us. Every day we live and we have breath, we give thanks to the Lord. Every day we walk out of our home, anything for granted. Remember the goodness of God before you say it is impossible. Remember the goodness of God before you say it's too far gone. Sometimes we face situations and we say, it is too far gone. At this point, there is nothing that God can do for me. Because the situation, it cannot be rescued. Because the situation, it is, Lord, too far gone. There is nothing you can do about it. And God is saying, remember what I have done for you in the past. Amen. Remember what the Lord has done for you before you say it is impossible. Now you see, Israel did not believe that God is able to keep good his words. Because you see, the Bible teaches us that they were in bondage. It said, I am taking you out to take you in a promised land, in a good place where you will serve me and where you will live forevermore. That was God's promise to Israel. And yet here they are saying it's impossible. God has promised something to you, and you have remembered and you have seen and you have witnessed the power of God at work in your life, and yet you decide it is impossible. We need to take God at his words. I said we need to take God at his words. When God says it, it is. It is. Because the Bible says with his word, the world was created. And so we take God at his word. The promises of God are always true. Always. Always. Not sometimes, not now and again, but always. Why? Because he is God. Amen. Because he is God. So they didn't believe God. Why would they not believe God when he has made such promises? And we look at our own lives, and sometimes we do exactly that. You see, it's very easy to look at these scriptures and we say to ourselves, how could they be so difficult, these people? But God is talking to us today. And God is saying, trust in my word. What God, because he is God. See, the Bible says, and that's one of my favorite things in the Bible, he knows the end from the beginning. And therefore, there is nothing that will come as a surprise to God. He knows the end from the beginning. And even more so, while I was still in my mother's womb, there he knew me, the Bible says. That is so exciting. So there is nothing that goes on in our lives that he doesn't know about. Nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing is impossible without God. And we read that in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. And this is what the Bible says, for nothing is impossible with God. If we have to come out of this place today, let it be just that verse. Nothing. And nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus said, believe in God and believe in me. Now I'm talking to somebody today. Jesus is saying to you, believe in God and believe in me. The Lord is saying to somebody today, nothing is impossible with God. You see, when the story that we have just read, when the 12 were sent out, the Bible says that they went and they came back. And when they came back, most of them didn't believe that God was able to send the people in to take over, walk with you happily until you face an issue which requires faith, and then they walk away from you. And do you know why they do that? because they don't think that God is able to do anything about that particular situation, and so therefore they say you're on your own. Because out of the 12, only two believed that God was able to fulfill his promises. So people will walk with you, and when you come and you find a situation which they think is too much for them, which they think is too much for God, they decided to go another way. You see, you're not on your own. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And so when you face what you face, remember the promises of Jesus saying, I will not. He just only say that, but he also said, I am with you always. Always. Now, always to me, it doesn't mean now and again. It doesn't mean perhaps sometimes, but it means every single day, every single time. That's what always means. And so you are not on your own. When they depart, when they don't believe as much as you do, it does not matter, because what matters is the one who has made the promise is faithful, the Bible says. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 22, this is what the Bible teaches us. And this is talking about the children of Israel when they were walking, coming away from Egypt, and God was guiding them through. And this is what the word of God teaches. By night, left its place in front of the people. What does that tell us? It says that God was constantly with his people. Do you know that God's pillar is with you in its right place every time? You're not on your own. You are not on your own. Regardless of what the others say, you are not on your own. And not just was the pillar showing up at night, but also it was showing during the daytime. It was showing up during the daytime. And you know what that tells me? That in my sleepless nights, anybody had any sleepless nights? There are times, things that happen in your life. That's hour. In the moments of distress, when you feel that your ship is sinking, you're not on your own. Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there with you. Never mind what the circumstances say to you. Jesus is there with you. And you know, in these times, that's when you need to raise your faith level. You see, I was thinking about it when I was preparing, and I thought, if I can only believe that Jesus is able to give me half a loaf, I will never get a full loaf. Because I will only, if I can only believe that Jesus is able to heal a cough, when my leg is broken, I will not turn to heaven and say, help me, God. You need to raise your faith level. And so you will ask for a loaf because you know that the one who made the heaven and the earth, to whom all things belong, he is able to provide you not with a half a loaf, but with a full loaf. Amen. We have to raise our faith level at the time that is required for us not to turn and say it is impossible. Am I talking to somebody today? God is saying, raise your faith level. Raise your faith level. Don't be frightened by the enormity of what you're facing. You see, Israel, they have come and they decided that this is too much for us. They have gone and they've seen the people who live in the land. So the reply from Israel and the reply from us, because I am saying to you, don't be frightened by the enormity of what you're facing. The reply will come back to me to say, yes, but what about the Amalekites? The way they're being described, they are huge. And what about the Jebusites and the Hittites? What about the Amorites? What about the Canaanites? And it says, don't forget the Nephilim, because they were massive. And you know what God's reply to Israel is? What about them? So what? Am I talking to somebody? God is saying, so what? So what? You look at the circumstances, you say, I need, you know, to pay the bill. And I've got to pay for the loan for the car, and I've got my son is so unwell, and my mother is in hospital, and this is not working, and my work is in unraveling. Those are your Jebusites, those are your Hittites, because those are the circumstances you face every day. And God is saying, so what? What about them? You see, sometimes some of us we think our Amalekites, they're far away. We see them at the distance. That's why I said to you, say, actually, they are on our doorsteps. They're right here. And some of us, we say, well, never mind that. They're already in my house. I am dealing with these Amalekites in my house today. Because life is bringing all these things I am facing. The difficulties, the challenges, the pains, and the money I don't have, and the health I don't have, and the dreams that run away from me. And God is saying, what about them? What about them? Hallelujah. I better press on because I think time is marching on, but we see ourselves as the people of Israel have seen themselves. And if we go back to our main text of Numbers chapter 30, the people of Israel said, verse 31, and when the Israelites saw the great power, I'm reading the wrong thing, it's chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 31. But the man who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They are stronger than we are. You see, we sometimes make personal assessments about how we are and who we are. Israel have now decided they are too small. They've now decided that they are hopeless. They've now decided that they are irrelevant, incapable. They are weak. That is the personal assessment that Israel had about themselves. How many times you have faced your Amalekites? How many times you have faced your own Jebusites, your own Nephilim? These problems and challenges that you have in your life, and you say in front of these things, I am hopeless. I am unable. I am meaningless. You see, we give credit to other people's opinion about us rather than what God says about us. We give people credit of what they say about us, and yet we have to learn to give credit to what God says about us. Now, if Israel had learned a lesson, they would have said, no, we are stronger because the Lord is on our side. Us. And that's for you and that's for me today. Now, is that good enough for you? That God is saying that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Not because of me, but because of Christ in me. Because he's accomplished everything at the cross. Everything. Is that good enough for somebody here today? What about you at home today? Do you know that Jesus is able to make you more than a conqueror? Not because of your own ability, not because of your own knowledge, not because of how handsome you are, how beautiful you are, no, because of grace that has been bestowed upon you. Amen. Amen. Now, Israel, we read that they said, in the eyes of these people, we look insignificant. We may look like grasshoppers in their sight, but so are they in the sight of our Almighty God. We may look like grasshoppers in the front of our problems and our difficulties, but so are they in the sight of a great and awesome and mighty God. That the problem that you're facing in your life today, they may overwhelm you because you acknowledge that they seem to be bigger than you. But I got a message for you today. The one who is your God, the one who is on your side, he is much bigger than those problems that you're facing. And therefore, it is not impossible for you to overcome. Amen. Amen. There's a story that happened many years ago in Africa. And when I was growing up, I heard the story. And it was a man who, one day they were said, let's just get out of here because this is a big flood and it's going to destroy everything. And the story goes that the man decided he will go in his field. He didn't want his field to be destroyed. And he went in his field and he went down on his knees. And he is praying that God will save his field. Now, some of the people thought that that was rather daft thing to do. Get out and save your life. But a man had got enough faith in his heart to believe that when the floods will come, his field will be saved. And before you know it, his field was saved, because the story tells us that when the flood came in, there is his field, the flood comes in and it goes on the side and then it reaches again, his field was saved. Now that takes a trust in God. It's not being arrogant, because you remember what I said to you, sometimes the people who that what you're facing, that God is able to bring a solution in your life. And so they don't believe. But why do you want to make them make you not believe, and therefore you lose your opportunity to see the hand of God at work in your life? And so we serve a great God. We can do it. We can do it. That was one of the slogans of the current president, I think, of the United States. We can do it. Now, we can do it by first and foremost talking to our God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. You see, sometimes when we have issues, the first people we go and tell is not God, but we'll go and tell somebody else. Or sometimes the first thing we do is we grumble. You won't add anything to your life by worrying. Nothing. The first thing we do is we come to our God. Jesus said, call me and I will answer you. Call me and I'll answer you. I have a number for you. I have a very good number for you. And it's a free phone number. You don't have to pay for it. It's a good number. And that number is Jesus. That number is the best emergency number you could ever want. And you don't have to pay for the call. Just turn to heaven and say, help me. Help me. You see, sometimes that's the only prayer you can make. You forget all the protocol of church. Am I talking to somebody today? Help me. That's good enough for God. Help me. And you know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 1, it says, come and eat. Come and take. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. I mean, it's a feast. Come. It's free. Jesus is saying, come in. Oh, it is so good to know that he is that good to us. One of the songs that Aretha Franklin has written, and these are some of the words that she has come about. She says, Monday, we held it together. Wednesday and Sunday, we heard the good news. And Sunday, we heard the good news. Now, Sunday will not come before Monday. Sunday will not come before Wednesday. And you know, Wednesday, there was a stormy weather. In other words, you will face certain things in life. In other words, you have some time to pray and to pray and to pray before Sunday comes. And say, when things didn't work out, when we heard that, you know, the situation was not coming together, he says we prayed it better and then the good news came. So it's not impossible. Hallelujah. We are almost done. We're almost done. So we need to pray our Hittites out. We need to pray them out. And we need to praise them out. Because your circumstances, they don't like it when you praise God. Your situations, they don't like it when you honor God. Out. Amen. Amen. In the Aristocats, you can tell I've got some children. When they were much smaller, there's a scene where we've got a mouse, and the mouse comes in, and he found himself in the middle of the alley cats. What a situation. I mean, mouse and cats. Not just one cat, but we're talking about myriads of cats. Do you feel that way sometimes? That you're surrounded by cats? That you're surrounded by difficulties? You look to your left, something is not working. You look to your right, it's not working. You look ahead of you, it's not working. And you look behind you, there is nothing working. And it says that the mouse, being very clever, you know, started saying, well, come on, fellas, take it easy now. Don't just rush it, you know. Mentioning names, because he told them that somebody has sent him. And he said, why did I listen to this? Oh, Grady. And they said, oh, Grady, we don't know nobody called old Grady. Why did I listen to this old something and all this and all that? And eventually they said, well, this is your last chance, mouse. And he said, oh, why did I listen to this O'Malley cat? O'Malley, they said. Why didn't you say so? You see, sometimes our circumstances tell us we need to mention names. And so we say, I call the name of Jesus. I call the name of Jehovah El Shaddai. I call the name of the King of Glory. I call the name of the Holy One. I call the name of the Faithful One. I call upon the name that is above all names. That's what I have. So when your circumstances ask you to call names, well, call the name of Jesus. You remember I said He will answer you. He will answer you. Because sometimes it may seem difficult, it may seem odd being different. It may seem uneasy being different, wanting to do things differently. But this doesn't matter, because I know the one who is in me and the one who is for me. Hallelujah. Just one or two things to say, because I think time is marching on. It's nearly 1 o'clock. I will finish very quickly for you to go home. Take no notice of those who don't believe what the Lord says and who also want to stop you from believing. You see, that's the devil's strategy. That's the devil's strategy. Because the devil will come, did God really say that? You remember in the garden? Did God really say that? That's the devil's strategy. Is it really possible for this thing to take place in your life, for the answer to come? Did really God say that? That is, just did not listen to the one who came to him and said, don't bother the master anymore, because your daughter is dead. But hearing this, the Bible says, Jesus said, don't worry about that. Just believe. Just believe and she'll be healed. And Jesus is telling somebody today, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. The Bible teaches us that the people on Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, they cried in despair. They lost courage before even any battle takes place. Because after they heard the report of the people, they went and they wept and they wept and they wept. When you hear, when you face the problem and you face the difficulties, you know, and says, we are just tired and why is this happening? And they lose courage before the battle takes place. Don't admit, just believe. Just believe, even when there is no answer. Because we know the story of Daniel's friends. They said, even if the Lord even does not deliver us, we shall praise him. We shall honor him. We shall remain faithful. So finishing very quickly, you see, God is never too late. When they thought that it was too late for Lazarus, because he was already in the tomb. See, the Bible tells us, when he was unwell, they came and told Jesus. He said, your friend is unwell. And the Bible tells us that he stays on for another few days. Why did he do that? We don't know. But what I know is that when the people thought it was too late, he came and he said, Lazarus, come out. When you think that in the name of Jesus, you see, with our God, it is possible. We are just done. When they say that it is impossible for you to sing at a time like this, you say, watch me. And you sing, bless the Lord, O my soul. And you sing, I praise you, Jesus. When they tell you it is impossible to dance at a time like this, you say, watch me, and you make a move. When they say it is impossible for you to pray at a time like this, you get down on your knees and you pray, Father, help me. Am I talking to somebody today? Watch me. It is not impossible with our God.